Good morning to my team of listeners. And welcome back to the Greg Herrenda Show. What up, Kenny?
Well, not too much, Coach, but I'm mighty proud of you.
Seriously?
Yeah, man. I thought you did a killer job at the FDU commencement this past Tuesday. How did it feel in the 50-yard line of where the New York Jets play to be up there and talking to over 10,000 people?
I tell you, honestly, the first feeling that I had was, and people realized it when they got in the building, but how windy the day was.
Yeah, it was.
And the flags were blowing over, and I'm like, imagine kicking a field goal. That's what I first thought. I'm like, yeah. Or throwing a pass.
Sure.
I don't know how a building like that, and you're enclosed, but the wind was just, I mean, it was 40-mile-an-hour gusts.
The swirling winds of the Meadowlands. That's been a problem going back to Giants Stadium. They built a brand new stadium. It's got the same problem.
But explain it to me. You're down on the field, and the stadium goes up, I don't know how many hundred feet.
Sure.
And the wind still...
I would imagine
that happen?
That the wind blowing over the top of the stadium, some of it gets caught,
right,
and then swirls.
And it was it was dangerous. When I met you, it was a little after 7.
Sure.
And the building, and that's the one thing, Kenny, I got to be honest with you. I was really, it was hard to sleep the night before. It was hard to sleep the night before the night before. But when I got into the arena, you saw me. I wasn't nervous when you saw me.
No, you're cool as a cucumber.
I was like, this is, I think if the graduation was in an academic building, tighter quarters with statues of you know, Socrates, and you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, sure.
I would have gotten much more nervous.
But you were an athletic facility.
I was in a stadium. Yeah, I was in an arena.
So you were comfortable. I mean, that the main purpose of that building is for sports, and you are a coach.
I felt so comfortable.
You were more comfortable maybe than a lot of the academics on that platform with you.
And they were great to me.
Of course.
Were really like, and again, I think it was important, Kenny, to be honest with you. It was a breakthrough for athletics at Fairleigh Dickinson and at the collegiate level. Not many coaches get that opportunity. So when President Capuano asked me, I was just thrilled. I was nervous. I don't know if I was capable. And I didn't know if I would be looked upon as a serious speaker or serious person. And that's why I addressed it early in there. And I had to thank Chris for allowing a coach to be looked upon as an educator along with the great faculty.
Sure.
And I think I was accepted that way because before and afterwards, the people in the robes that were like, you know, just crazy how you get dressed that day, that whole deal, they ingratiated me and they made me feel welcome. And afterwards, I think I held my own and I think I hit all the buttons and they were great. I mean, they were tremendous from Jillian Small to everybody, to our campus director and so many alums and faculty. They made me feel at home, and that was really important. And I think it was good for the other coaches to see a coach. So it wasn't Greg, the basketball coach. It was Greg, the athletic representative of all coaches and all the trainers and all the administrators. So I had pressure on me.
Oh, for sure.
And but I tell our players all the time, you need to embrace the pressure. And that's what I tried to do. I just tried to take it all in and give it to me all. But I'm telling you, man, when you're sitting in that seat and you're looking out, it's awesome. It's my screensaver now, is when you can just see the MetLife Stadium, Fairleigh Dickinson University, and the crowd, and you sit and you're like, wow. And I've gotten like incredible feedback from all over the country because eventually this gets out somehow.
Yeah, couple of newspapers picked it up.
And I'm just, like, getting, like, friends that, you're like, you are the commencement speaker? Now, I graduated in 1983, and I had a business degree. and I was a marketing major, and I minored in education. So I have some academic, and I went to St. Peter's Prep. But I'm not looked upon by my friends and my peers as an academia.
Yeah, all your buddies hanging out on Kennedy Boulevard back in the day.
They're like, yeah, and some of these guys have not graduated high school, my friends. And they're just as smart as I am. I know they're smarter than I am.
Sure.
But I happen to just kind of like, you know, like my path. This year, 2019, has just been, I mean, you could not, if you put it in, you know, from 2018 April to right now, you could not. It's hard to fathom what's happened to me.
It's like a storybook.
It's a storybook that people wouldn't believe. And like you talk about, I'm tired of talking about Texas and not. But that's all. Now it sounds fun, and people look at me like, "Oh man, this guy wasn't really sick," but I was like really like sick. Like Kenny, at one point, I had 12 doctors. It's what seemed like 12 surrounding my bed with no reason, no real answer to what was going on with me. And when you hear doctors in your room and they start whispering,
oh gosh,
that's when you start, that's when you're like, and you're cognizant enough to hear the whispers. And I'm trying to tell them, no, I don't have a fever. And they go, no, you have, well, I just got the fever because, and they're like, no, you've had the fever. And it's like, well, these are the things that could be happening, and none of them are good. And then I'll never forget, my blood pressure just went. And I asked the nurse, I'm like, that must be wrong. My blood pressure can't be 75, over 50. She goes, well, do you feel a little bit weak? And Kenny, if I was standing up, I would have fell right on my face.
Wow.
I was just... And that's when I'm like, okay, man, when your heart, when your blood pressure is not working, that is not good. And but the people again at Metropolitan Methodist in San Antonio, Greg Seiler was the president. He came down to my room every day. It was just those people just put me back on my feet. But then you go to the, you know, coming back and just getting healthy, and then you get your team, and your team is 1-4 and was struggling, and then they come back, and then you win the league again, and then you win a game, and then you do the commencement. And then we just found out, Kenny, that our team, and I found this out today, Nikki Heindel, and I have to give her the credit and my players the credit, my coaches, with the greatest phone call a coach could have, is that our team had a 3.17 overall GPA. And when you're playing intercollegiate athletics in the spring and you miss a lot of class and you're on the road and you come back and get to work and have a 3.17, the highest GPA since I've been here and arguably the highest GPA ever at Fairleigh Dickinson University, we have a chance now to win the highest GPA for the third time out of six.
Wow.
In our conference. It just makes – it reinforces what you do, and I think – what you do on the floor, you know, takes you off the floor and vice versa. So right now there's a great synergy of just academics, athletics, and our kids are doing the right thing. And it was just cool to see Mike Holloway and even our baseball players when they came up and graduated. And it was just I was able to get up and hug and take pictures and just be on the stage at that moment when those guys were recruited to the moment that they graduated. It was just a very rewarding. How did it look from like where you are, Kenny?
I don't have the best view.
Where are you? Like totally up top or no?
I'm probably on the 45-yard line, slightly behind the stage to the right.
Okay,
I
got you.
In the press box.
So that, yeah, so you're not looking down.
They have the stage probably set up on the other 45-yard line on the other side of the 50. So I'm kind of looking... I can't even really see you. Maybe I could see one of your shoes.
You know,
looking down at the stage. Otherwise, I'm looking at the video board. That was what I was able to see.
Gotcha.
But I could hear you loud and clear. And I was the one that pressed the button on We Are Family the moment you said peace at the end of the speech.
That was you.
Yeah, man.
So our teamwork...
It continues.
It continues outside of it. I can't thank Angelo.
Angelo Carfagna, yeah.
Oh, Angelo was
my
just
boss.
He's like, you know, like he's like touchdown Jesus of publicity here.
Yeah.
At Fairleigh Dickinson University. And Julie.
Yeah, Julie Kazerman, yeah.
Julie, awesome. I mean, so many people, you know, it takes a village kind of deal. So many people, all of the ushers, and Darius Stokes was an, they call them ushers? Or what?
Marshals.
Marshals, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But they were ushering and marshaling.
Even Brian Jackson and a lot of the athletic department staff, I saw.
We had a tremendous turnout. Linda Wester, who is our basketball administrative assistant, and she's been on this campus, I believe, I think over 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I was practicing the last few days. I started practicing my speech walking into the office so she could hear me coming down the hallway. So, and she was tremendous. And Lorraine and Lynn and, I mean, I just, you know, Nikki and Madison were right in front helping people off the stage. You could just see everyone works together.
Oh, yeah. It really.
I always thought a graduation was like other people ran it. We run it.
No, we run the whole thing, and I guess a lot of credit has to go to Bob Valenti.
Oh, Bob is
so
the
it's
best.
It's kind of his thing. He's the director or vice president of auxiliary services. So
yes.
He's the one. And I can't tell you how many meetings that we have
right.
for the commencement
no.
leading up to it. There's probably
I can imagine.
A meeting a month going. We'll have the post-mortem meeting soon.
Right.
And then September, we'll have our first commencement meeting.
Really?
You know, going through next year.
How about Steve Dembowski?
Steve Dembowski, I saw him.
He had the bullhorn going. He's the he's the greatest.
Lane Goldstein. Are you familiar with Lane Goldstein?
Who is Lane Goldstein?
Lane
I should
Goldstein,
know.
He works in the MIS department, kind of like
yes.
the technology department.
Yes.
But he took it upon himself. He kind of ran the show. He was the field manager, for lack of a better term.
Okay.
The person kind of communicating with all the marshals, making sure that everybody was lined up properly, and then
yes.
communicating that information up to me in the booth so I could talk to all of the people who work for MetLife Stadium in their video and audio department. He did a fantastic job, and congratulations to him, by the way, because he also graduated that day with his master's
Are
degree.
You know what?
He was the last name announced.
I think I remember seeing him.
He was the last name. He made it so. He took off his headset. He put
exactly.
on his gown. And then he went.
Wow.
And,
I mean, the day is so personal to so many people,
yeah.
you know, and it's – when you're watching, and there were a handful of people that were well above the normal 23 person
yeah,
age.
The college age person. That's
it was,
one
and
of
it
the
was
things
just great.
Fairleigh Dickinson takes pride in that.
Oh, God.
Is having those adult learning
That's right.
opportunities for people who, you know, are looking to either finish their degree, you know, the degree completion program that the late Ken Verkin started.
You took the words right out of my mouth, man. And when you're doing a speech like that, you want to mention and touch all the buttons. And,
sure.
like, Ken, I thought of while I was writing the speech, Richie Conrad, who his son graduated, and Bobby was, you know, it's just very heartfelt moments. And it just brought me, it was like the birth of my son, my wedding, getting a Division I, like all those moments. But that day touched me in a different way, but like in that category. I mean, it was one of the top 10 days of my life, and I'm 50 whatever, but it was, and the weather made it crystal clear, you know, and the kids were so happy. And then all the people, Kenny, you talk about the post-mortem meeting, everyone said it was one of the cleanest, best run, well-organized graduations that we've ever had here.
Well, I've been involved in quite a few of them, and I can attest to that.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Because there's been some disastrous kind of situations.
Well, sure, we've tried some things, and of course, Fairleigh Dickinson being a smaller university, but also being the largest private college in New Jersey, you had over 2,000 kids graduating yesterday.
Yes.
And because we're still a smaller university and we identify like that, the kids like to hear their name read.
No question.
You go to Rutgers, you go to one of these big universities, you know,
never.
The whole graduating
they
class.
They stand up.
They stand up, they sit down, bing, bang, boom.
We still do it personally.
We still do it with that personal touch. And in years past, it's taken hours.
Hours.
55 minutes to read all
I'm telling
2,000
you.
Some odd names. It was incredible.
And on Tuesday, it was there was two. I guess they got professional.
They got professionals, which is
a good
idea.
And they were good, and they were both excellent. But the male, I hate that. I don't want to be sexist here, but the male voice, because I listen a lot in stadiums and in arenas. His voice was. They were both great, but his voice was just banging, and they were just going one. It was systematic, and it was. And the kids all got their due, and they were all on the stage. So
now,
was,
what about my voice, Coach? Now you,
your
you were,
voice.
You
I didn't even know it was you.
You were in the bowels. I'm not even sure if you.
I heard the replay, and it sounded like Kenny O'Boyle at the age of 58. You had this very prophetic, deeper, very.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Officious. Yes.
Welcome to the 76 commencement exercises of Fairleigh Dickinson University.
No. That was everyone put their best foot forward, and I'm just glad I was a part of it. We'll keep on talking about it,
absolutely.
Kenny.
Absolutely, and you know what? We have it's on YouTube right now. Maybe we'll post the link so people can actually watch the ceremony.
There you go.
But we'll come back after this break with a clip or two of you. And your commencement address.
That's cool.
So we can play that back for everybody to listen to and then finish this thing up, talk a little bit more about commencement and where we're going for the summer.
And we'll do that, Kenny, after this pomp and circumstance.
This is Coach Rob Mendez from Prospect High School. You are listening to the Greg Herenda Show on WFDU. Who says I can't? Yeah!
You're listening to the Sunday morning programs on WFDU-FM. Sports fans, it's now time for the two-minute warning. Here's Arnie Schreer.
News item, dysfunction in New York. I'm Arnie Schreer for the two-minute warning. When you Google the word dysfunction, funny, all the New York pro sports teams' logos populate first. And the very first logo that comes up, to no surprise, the Jets logo. The new head of the class in dysfunction in New York. Let me count the ways. To put this in context, the Jets fired their head coach after 4 years and Todd Bowles kept the general manager who, in the same 4 years, was responsible for bad drafts and adding very little talent to the team during his helm. Yes, Mike Maccagnan was kept. Then, they allowed him to handpick the next head coach in Adam Gase, the head coach just fired by the Dolphins. Maccagnan then oversaw the combine and the draft, selecting 6 players in that draft, and then that same GM resided over the free agency process, spending over $150 million on 3 players, including overpaying for running back Le'Veon Bell. And that turned out to be the last straw. And now that all the pieces that are in place for the season, Maccagnan gets fired in May. Dysfunction. The second logo that comes up is the Knicks. Although, that New York franchise has a major chance to reverse their fortunes this summer with a premium number 3 pick in the draft and 2 max contracts to offer 2 attractive free agents, but, if the Knicks somehow blow the pick and don't get Kevin Durant to come to New York, then they may move ahead of the Jets, something very hard to do at this point. The Giants come in third for the sole reason that they selected a quarterback with the number 6 pick in their draft that they could have gotten in round 2. And let's face it, Mets fans, how close is your team coming to nudging its way into the top 2 or 3 on this list? A team built for now has all sorts of issues and middling around that 500 mark or lower. Only the Yankees and the Brooklyn Nets survived the dysfunction list. Oh, and by the way, all of this under the backdrop of perhaps another duck boat parade in Boston as the Bruins may pull the Boston trifecta following the footsteps of the Patriots and Red Sox in their recent titles this year. And for the record, none of the Boston team logos came up in my Google search. For the two-minute warning, I'm Arnie Schreer.
Last but certainly not least, remember this when you go home. The heroes in your life are not the people you watch on television. They are the people that you watch television with. What you see is not what is real. Today is the anniversary of my father's graduation from Stevens Institute of Technology. 70 years ago today, he was a graduate of Stevens. That's my hero. Here is his ring. He delivered ice in Hoboken, New Jersey, on a horse and buggy to pay for his education. Thank the people that pay for your education. I was going to take up all your debt, but yesterday at Morehouse, Mr. Smith beat me to it, so sorry, guys. My grandfather babysat Frank Sinatra. He played baseball with Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig. Those are my heroes. Your heroes are the people you watch television with and the students that you graduate with. My story is just like yours. 35 years ago, I had no idea what I wanted to do, but I would always dream about the prize, and I realized at a young age I had to do the hard, laborious work required to get there. I was quoted at the end of the NCAA tournament in one shining moment viewed throughout the world as saying, "Everyone in this tournament is a champion. Now let's go out and find out where we stand." Well, guess what? It's May Madness now. Every one of you graduates, 2019, you guys are champions. Now you have to go out and find out where you stand. Good luck to all of our FDU family, and most especially to the class of 2019. Peace.
Wow, Kenny. Thinking back, that just brings me back to the moment. And you know what the feeling was when I kept on saying before the event that I can't wait till it's over, because I just wanted to make sure it was over. It's like taking a final. I wanted to get it over with.
Yeah, sure.
As soon as I was done, I was euphoric, but I was also right away, I'm like, I could have done better. Why didn't I say this?
I'm that way too. But what are you gonna do, man?
But when I saw my wife, and you know, one day you'll be married, and you'll look at your wife, and you'll know when there's 100%
honesty.
Yeah,
she shoots you straight.
She shoots it straight. And when my wife is happy, I did good, and that happens rarely.
Where did she sit?
She sat in the good seats, wherever they were, like looking right, and then she went up to the commissioner's club. But she was in her seat, you know, during the commencement address. But usually, when I speak, if I speak 99.9, she's going to say, "Well, Greg, why did you why?" Or, and this was like, "Honey, you were awesome," and she don't fake anything. She's just as real. She's a Midwestern Chicago girl, and then I knew that I did well.
Well, you know something? You got a great response from the graduates and all of the attendants.
Right.
I mean, you got a standing ovation. And here's what I think is incredibly impressive, is that there has been, and always will be, who knows, but there is a rivalry between the two campuses, the two New Jersey campuses.
Right.
And I think that what you did, not only at commencement, but what you and your team did
right
in the NCAA tournament,
yes,
brought this university together in a way that
that's
never seen before.
Really? Yes.
I mean, you know, Roger Kindle, we had him on the show.
Right.
You know, he's retired now, but God,
sure.
God forbid I ever wore an FDU Knights shirt.
Oh, really?
While announcing
yes.
an FDU Devils game.
That would
down
be like,
Madison.
Yeah, so it was competition and not good blood.
Maybe it was playful, maybe,
yes.
you know, whatever it was, but there was definitely a rivalry.
Right.
And, you know, people down in Madison, we're the
yes.
better campus. People here on the Metro campus,
no,
we're
exactly.
the better campus. You had everybody tuned in, a standing
right.
ovation. Everybody was super proud to be a
right.
part of the Fairleigh Dickinson community, seeing the Knights.
The Fairleigh Dickinson family.
Fairleigh Dickinson and that's, family.
That was my underwriting theme, and I mentioned it like six – because I just want – I think if we work – I'm so anti the Red Sox nation, you know, sure. And Florida – the Florida State, the Seminole Nation. Like nations are – I mean, we have to have nations, but nations separate. Families bring it – and we're not perfect, and no family is perfect. I lived on Fifth Avenue, and my mom and dad used to fight, just like everybody's, and my brothers and sisters fought. And I would always say, why can't we be like the Ricciardos? And they lived three, four down, and they always looked happy. And I'll never forget my mother saying, Greg, you just don't see the Ricciardos fight. They fight. That's what families do.
Sure.
So if there's competition between the Devils and the Knights, it's healthy. It's yeah. good. But at the end of the day, we have to be connected. And I think that day – and it was the end of my sixth year here, like, and you said it very aptly, Kenny, when we came back from break. If you've been here and you're an alum, that day really we came together for that day, and I want that to continue.
And I think it will, and I think it will.
Kenny, what's your favorite quote? Everybody's hitting me up. Their favorite quotes. The doorbell's the easy one. Don't give me the doorbell.
I got to be honest with you. I mean, I'm very thankful for yeah. our friendship over the years because
right.
I've heard a lot of these quotes.
Yes, true.
Through conversations with
true.
You, and these were introduced.
Give me something
to
out of the box that you just liked in the speech.
You are forever judged by what you're not
supposed to
do.
Yes. Yes.
And you mentioned it earlier how not many coaches get the opportunity to be a commencement speaker at
right.
a university graduation.
Right.
You're not supposed to be up there, Greg.
No, that's a good point. I never even thought of that.
Job.
And I'm up there.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. And I already called my people at Merrimack. I called my Joey Gallo, the new coach. I said, Joey, let President Hoey know that I want to do it. I want it.
Experience.
I'm going to put it out. I might just do it professionally. Just
there
do,
you go.
Because to go back to Merrimack and do it, I think we just take it to another level.
Well, now what we got to do is we got to get you one of those honorary degrees. We got to call you Dr.
I need that.
Greg.
But
Horeca.
Did you see the citation?
The presidential citation. That was huge.
I have it hanging in my office. It's you. I mean, it's written like, you know, in proper the King's English, and it's special the whole day, and it continues to be a special time for not only me. Now take me. Our players were there. Even when Chris Capuano quoted Jaleel Jenkins, he quoted Jaleel saying, you know, what have you about me. It was cool to hear, you know, Jaleel's voice being and his quote being out and about in MetLife Stadium. So it was just good. And our kids, man, to, you know, we I don't know. Did I say this on air about our academic prowess this semester?
You did. You did. Yeah, probably one of the highest GPAs. You're probably going to win 3.1 something.
7.
Yeah.
It was, and we just had guys make, you know, and we're not allowed to really broadcast our individuals' academics because of the Buckley Amendment and what have you. But collectively, we were tremendous. And now it's now I told our players we're in summer school right now already, Kenny.
Wow.
That. The bar has been set even higher. You know, I don't know how high we can set it, but we're in a position where now, you know, we're losing Darnell Edge, we're losing Mike Holloway, Nadi Bassiri, Pat McNamara, but we've got some good, really good young players, and the players that are coming back are growing and getting bigger and better, and we've developed a championship culture here, Kenny. And I look back on 2019 and I am as blessed as any coach and any person. And I'm really blessed to have you, Kenny. You helped me through that thing big time, buddy.
Well, Coach, it's my pleasure, man. I consider you a great friend. It's a pleasure to be here with you every Sunday morning.
Amen.
And I wish you nothing but the best of luck going forward and many more commencement speeches and conference championships and appearances at the NCAA tournament.
Amen, brother. And we will take you out with some peace from Sinatra.
Summer night, we'd hide from the lights on the village green when I was 17.